All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We're in our series, The Kingdom of God. Today's message is, The Temple Was Built on a Threshing Floor. I am Dr. Mary Craig. This is a live teleservice, March 21, 2021. And let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for his radical life of obedience, even unto death on the cross, in our place, O God. And we thank you, Lord, that he died, taking our punishment that we deserved, and that he was buried and rose again the third day and sits at the right hand of the Almighty. And we thank you, Lord, that that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we extol you, our God, O King, and we will bless your name forever and ever, Lord. Every day we will bless you as you grant us the grace, and we will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. We will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. People shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and we will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And so, Lord God, we come on bended knee with our heads bowed in humility before you. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And you, Lord God, would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, to open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, to perceive, to understand, and to open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The temple was built on a threshing floor. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, it says, you are to seek only the place the Lord your God chooses from all your tribes to put his name to dwell. There you will come. The place was marked out back in Genesis chapter 21 when God told Abraham where he was to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, the Mount of Bitterness. Abraham's faith spoke when he said that God would provide himself a sacrifice. His provision would be seen. The name revealed there was Jehovah Jireh, as we pronounce it in English. Then we have this from 2 Samuel 24, verses 15 and 16. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning until the appointed time, so that 70,000 men of the people died from Dan to Beersheba. When the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who was destroying the people, enough, now withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, or Ornan. 2 Samuel 24, 18 to 25. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Then David built there an altar to the Lord. and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. So the Lord was moved by prayer of entreaty for the land and restrained the plague from Israel. 2 Samuel 24, verses 18 to 25. The circumstance involved how to stop a plague of death. You can also see 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Now, Araunah, or however it's pronounced, is also known as Ornan. David bought the threshing floor, built an altar to the Lord, offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. This moved God's hand for the land. The angel of death was destroying the people, but when the angel was by the threshing floor, God said to stop. Death was stayed. God accepted David's appeal and offerings. They were legal. And remember, God hates robbery in the burnt offering, or for burnt offering. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. That's two different versions. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1. On that site, both the first and second temples were built. Today that site is referred to as the Dome of the Rock. And there's a great sermon by Charles Spurgeon on David and the threshing floor of Ornan. And in a written version of this message, which will be on the homepage of marycraig.org for a while, and in the printed version of this message, you can go there. Charles Spurgeon's message on the threshing floor of Ornan, O-R-N-A-N. Okay. Threshing involves separating, sorting, and sifting. For the believer undergoing tribulations and trials, it means being sanctified. And these are methods by which God sanctifies us. The winds of adversity separate people. Trials and tribulations separate those who believe in Jesus from those who don't. The one who has the Son has life, and the one who has not the Son of God has not life. 1 John 5, verse 12. Psalm 1 contrasts the righteous and the wicked. The righteous one, he will be like a planted tree over streams of water, producing its fruit during its season. Its leaf never droops or shall not wither, but in all he does, he will prosper. He succeeds. The wicked are not so, for they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand during the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Psalm 1, verses 3 to 5. And from Isaiah 9, verse 6, a prophecy of the Messiah. Of the increase of his government and shalom, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it through justice and righteousness from now until forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the heavenly army, Lord Sabaoth, will accomplish this. Isaiah 9, verse 6, a prophecy of the Messiah. And then let's listen to Malachi and then to John the Baptist. Then you will return and distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace when all the proud and every evildoer will become stubble. The day that is coming will set them ablaze, says Adonai. Well, it's Adonai. sorry, I didn't look up the pronunciation. I'll spell it. Capital T-Z-V-A apostrophe O-T. Okay. So Lord something. Leaving them neither root nor branch, Malachi 3, 18 and 19. And then we get this from Matthew 3, verse 12, John the Baptist referring to the Messiah. And all these things, if you pick up on it or look at this or think about these verses in Scripture, they're referring to the process of threshing and, you know, the wheat or the barley harvest or the wheat. Okay. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he shall clear, purge his threshing floor, and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he shall burn up with inextinguishable fire. Matthew 3, verse 12. Jesus, in his parables of the kingdom, Matthew 13, verses 40 to 43, therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. They will throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, what's it to us? God met David on a threshing floor. God met Adam in the garden, Noah in the ark, Abraham under a tree, Moses at the burning bush, Jonah in the belly of a great fish. God met a man in the dungeon. And can you think of others? The threshing floor was so ordinary, so nothing, so everyday. So many people had access to a threshing floor. Wherever God is, however, that place is holy ground. And think about the Jebusites. They were aliens and strangers to the covenant, a nation accursed, doomed for their iniquities. King David's ancestry included Ruth, a Moabite. A threshing floor has significance in that story as well. In the book of Ruth, David bought this place with money. He could have taken it and demanded it, but he paid for it. He said that he would not offer burnt offerings to the Lord his God of that which cost him nothing. This was 600 shekels of gold. David put down 50 shekels of earnest money, even though Ornan offered to give the land and oxen and the threshing instruments and more to David. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 23. David meets God at a place of simple plainness, a place of earth and rock, a place where grain is threshed for food and winnowed to blow away the chaff. It is a place of tribulation. Again, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, quote, in the lion of trial, we find the honey of communion. The temple of glory is built on the threshing floor of affliction. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Until we come under the irresistible conviction of the Holy Spirit and are shown the drawn sword of the angel of the Lord, dispensing death at God's decree, we will not seek the Creator Redeemer for mercy, the grace that saves. All right. We will not worship in spirit and in truth. We will not ask, seek, and knock. We will not understand that we need a Savior, a mediator, a surety, a covenant of grace made on the ground of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the infinite God-man. We will not confess that our sin deserves just punishment and that we cannot figure that God will just overlook it. we must repent to the core of our being. Spurgeon again, quote, a reconciled God is only to be seen through the smoke of the great sacrifice. The wounds of Christ are the windows of the heart of God. If you can believe in Jesus Christ by faith, presenting him again to God as your sacrifice, then God will meet with you. 70,000 men from Dan to Beersheba died as a result of David's sin. That was when he was counting the people. But at the altar on that threshing floor, God accepted David's prayer appeal. The sword of the Lord rested, and David saw peace. True believers belonging to Jesus Christ will see that peace. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit convinces us, converts us, and corrects us. The Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. It is our Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Remember that in this time to thresh in meekness. Amen. And now I'm going to close with prayer with James 1, starting at verse 2. And Holy Father, I bring this up to you. May you grant us the grace to live as you desire for us to live, to be as you desire for us to be, and to be obedient to you in all humility and meekness, Lord God. And we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all people liberally and upbraids not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falls, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And that love would refer more to loyalty in the way we think than some kind of romantic love or anything like that. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But everyone is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If anyone among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain, empty of power. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And Lord God, we lift that up before you, that you, as the sovereign God of providence, Lord, may apply it as you please, to whom you please, how you please. In Jesus' name, amen. And please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
All right, thank you. And those of you listening to this as a recorded message, that's the end of our message time. But if you want to keep listening, this is a word I received at my home on 2 a.m., March 18th, 2021. Know that I will move among the people such that they will feel the suffocating effects of the loss of their rights and freedom. They will fight to breathe, for I am the breath of the Almighty, and these mock the living God. They move without fear in their evil ways. They see themselves as people of substance, with authority to impose obligations without rebuttal. But faith is the substance of things not seen, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I will close my mouth to them, for they despise my law, my ways, my word, my son, and my people. With what? With whom will they replace me? No gods, idols, the desires of their own minds, the flesh, vain imaginations. They will gasp for air. They will struggle as I strip them of their pride. And then I will speak when I purpose to speak, and those who have ears to hear will hear. And then in the written version of this, that again will be at marycraig.org on the homepage for a while and in the prophetic section of the website. I've referenced a message that I gave some time ago called When God is Silent, and you can learn more about when God is silent and speaks when he chooses to speak, an example being the life of Job. Now to go on. You must stand firm in the faith, nothing wavering, without shame of the gospel of Christ, who suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring you to God, to me. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once for all time suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive, raised to life by the Spirit, in the Spirit, 1 Peter 3:18. And to go on, I love with an everlasting love. I am the flame of Yah, a consuming fire. I will sanctify, I will spoil the spoiler. For who lays charge to my elect? It is I who justify. Who is it who condemns? Romans 8. The accuser is cast down, the tempter is overcome. From Isaiah 33:1. Woe, spoiler, and you not spoiled, and treacherous, and they dealt not treacherously with you. When you do finish, O spoiler, you are spoiled. When you do finish dealing treacherously, they deal treacherously with you. And then I suggest you read all of Isaiah 33. And this from Romans 8:33-39. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:33-39. And to go on. I have come that you might have life. I am the life maker. Pray that you be delivered from the evil one. I give you authority, the right to impose obligation, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. From Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample, tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you can see also Psalm 91:13 and Ezekiel 2:6. To go on, do not fear as I do marvelous things. Be humble that you might receive grace to be strong and courageous. Keep entrusting yourself to me, for I judge with righteous judgment. 1 Peter 2. And above all, flee idolatry. Keep yourselves from idols and believe Jesus. Have faith in the power of God, in my power to bring about what seems to you impossible. 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. 1 John 5, verse 20 and 21. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. 1 John 5, 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and from dunamis there, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power, the dunamis power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. And to go on. For am I not the God of great surprises, and do I not delight to manifest my glory? The ranking evil will fall into their own traps, get entangled in their own nets and snares, sit caged in the cages into which they put others. Their kingdom built on sand of lies, robbery, murder, and pride crumbles. Sit in the dust, O daughter of Babylon, and see all of Isaiah 47, for you steal what is rightfully. You devise iniquity through law. Prepare to meet your maker, for I am your first breath, your next breath, and your last breath. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. See Amos chapter 4, Isaiah 43, Isaiah 45. And this from Isaiah 43, verses 10 to 11. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Amen. And I release that word now as I stand in my office as an apostle of Jesus Christ to the nations. I release this word in Jesus' name. Amen.